downtown here for this Monday afternoon. Brian Stackpole, Ryan Wehning with you up until 6 p.m. here on the Pulse, AM 620 WZON. We now hop aboard the G&M Family Market phone line to talk to a true baseball analysis and fantasy baseball industry legend. It's Ron Chandler, and you can follow his work on ronchandler.com. Also, the website he founded, baseballhq.com, and the very popular book, Baseball Forecaster, which you can find online or on bookshelves and bookstores near you. Ron, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, I talked about the Baseball Forecaster and, of course, the website baseballhq.com, but let's talk about your other book, which is, of course, entitled Ron Chandler's Other Book 2016, about the Manual of Baseball Roster Construction, and what really went into you deciding to create that book.
Well, you know, I've been doing the forecaster now for about 30 years, and I basically made my name on the whole aspect of statistical analysis. But the more I get into this, the more I have fears about our real ability to predict the future. And so I thought, can we do this? Can we play fantasy baseball without numbers? So I did a bunch of research over a few years, and I've come up with a system called the Broad Assessment Balance Sheet, where we assign values to players using more descriptive values rather than numbers, and we build a balance sheet of assets and liabilities, and we construct a roster that way. So that's really the focus of the new website, ronchandler.com, and the other book.
So what do you think some things that our listeners could gain from somebody that's written something like that? What about roster construction on a basic level could you share?
Well, as much as we try to find differences between players and we try to rank players by finding differences in them, the fact remains that most players are very much alike. You can group players into pockets of skill and talent. Now, for instance, Mookie Betts in your neck of the woods there is a great talent, potential MVP candidate, but his skill set is virtually identical to those of players who are sometimes drafted ahead of him, like A.J. Pollock, or some players who drafted behind him, like Charlie Blackmon and Starling Marte. All those four players are essentially the same guy, but they are drafted differently because we focus too much on the numbers. But we really can't predict the statistics with that much precision to be able to rank them that way. So I would prefer to group them, say they're all the same guy, and wherever you can get them at a profit would be beneficial to you.
It says here that you think that we're largely driven by what people do recently, statistically. Who are some players that you think are perceived at less value than they actually have? Like David Ortiz up here has been on his deathbed for 3 or 4 years, and yet 30 and 100 are always in the realm of play. Like, who's somebody like that?
Well, actually, that is a great example because David Ortiz's profile, his asset profile, is exactly the same as players like Edwin Encarnacion and Giancarlo Stanton and Josh Donaldson, who are all being drafted in the first round. Ortiz gets drafted a lot further down, but given the fact that he keeps putting those numbers up year after year, he's a great profit opportunity because you can get him later on in the draft, and he'll generate the same type of caliber of numbers that some of those other players do a lot earlier.
Do you buy into any of the concepts of, like, position scarcity or anything like that, or do you think that you can kind of build around what you have? You can create the numbers that you need by being smart with the draft.
Yeah, the only position where I think there's a bit of scarcity to be concerned about is catcher. Buster Posey is just so far ahead of just about the rest of the field, and the catching pool this year is just really, really terrible. It's kind of best to push up some of those better catchers a little higher in your rankings. But for the most part, I don't believe in much position scarcity anywhere else. I think you can work around it. For instance, I don't like drafting Kyle Schwarber that high, even though he's catcher eligible, because he's an unproven commodity, yet he's going within the top 35 picks in most drafts. I think that's way too high. I think you pass on him, maybe get a catcher a little bit further down, and figure out near the end of the draft where you need to make up some ground. But I don't like pushing players too high, no.
We're talking with Ron Chandler here on Downtown, one of the true pioneers of looking at statistical analysis and incorporating it to fantasy baseball. And Ron, really, what I have to ask is, are you impressed with how much sabermetrics are now used by major league ball clubs today, or is this something that was bound to happen, or did it take too long for it to implement?
Yeah, it took quite a while. you know, Bill James started breaking ground in this back in the 1980s, and really took 20 years before major league teams started embracing it. You first saw signs of it in the late 90s, early 2000s with Billy Beane and the whole Moneyball stuff. And over the course of the 2000s, most every team has pretty much embraced it. I worked for the Cardinals for a year when Jeff Luhnow was there back in 2004, and they had a unique way of handling it. They basically built a team of statistical analysts to surround Luhnow, who really had no baseball experience when he was hired in 04. And every team kind of handles it differently, but at this point now, if you're not on board with some type of statistical analysis, you're really behind the eight ball.
Ron, we kind of joke here on the show about how valueless spring training statistics are, but I mean, to somebody, they do have value. I mean, people are making, getting jobs and losing jobs based on what they're doing on the field right now. But how much stock do you put in to those things when you're forecasting or projecting what a player is going to do?
I put a little bit of stock into it, not a whole lot. I worry about decisions being made based on spring training statistics because the caliber of competition, the fact that a lot of players are trying out new pitches, new positions in batter's box. It's more of a laboratory for a lot of players to try to figure out how to get better. That the caliber of competition is not what we would expect during the season. So for somebody to win a job based upon that, I think I think it's faulty to some extent. And we've seen it in the past time and time again where players win jobs out of spring training and they fall flat on their face. You know, last year, Dalton Pompey of the Blue Jays, everybody was excited about him. He had a great Arizona Fall League. He had a good spring. He couldn't cut it in the major league level, and he still hasn't found himself a job. And those players now who are winning jobs based on some performances late in March, I worry about them being able to hang on to them for a full season.
Ron, as somebody who's definitely made their hay in the business that is fantasy baseball, what's your opinion of the rise and now stumble of the daily fantasy leagues?
Well, I think they're not going away. I think it was an interesting advancement in the way people play the game, and it's fed into our need for immediate gratification. And I think it's going to find a place at some point. I think anything that grows the industry and gets more people involved is a good thing. I think they maybe bit off a little bit too much too quickly, and it was kind of a wild, wild west situation for a while. There'll be some regulation. There'll be some restrictions. We're probably not going to see situations where you can put $3 down and win $1 million anymore. But it's going to find its place, and I think that's a good thing.
The Baseball Forecaster Annual celebrates its 30th anniversary here in 2016. Ron, you've been doing it forever. I've got two questions. First of all, how many leagues are you in from a year-to-year basis, and what type of leagues do you prefer to do now?
There was a time when I'd be in 8 to 12 leagues, and it was really tough keeping track of all my players. Now I kind of limit it to about 3 or 4 leagues each year. Most of them are some of the national experts competitions like Tout Wars and league by FSTA, Fantasy Sports Trade Association. My favorite type of league is still Rotisserie. That's kind of where I cut my teeth back in the 1980s. I still love the game. I like toying with the rules a little bit sometimes, but it's still my favorite format.
Well, Ron, it's been an honor to speak with you this afternoon. The Baseball Forecaster is one of our favorites, and we also have the other book on our shelves as well, Ron Chandler's other book, 2016. So we really appreciate the time, and we wish you and your teams the best of luck in this 2016 campaign.
Hey, thank you very much. It's my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Ron Chandler joining us here on the G&M Family Market phone line. Of course, follow him on Twitter, at Ron Chandler. RonChandler.com is the website, BeachBallHQ.com, which is also celebrating 20 years online, which seems unthinkable with the Internet, but it's been around forever. And also, of course, the Baseball Forecaster celebrating its 30th anniversary. And again, I can't recommend Ron Chandler's other book, 2016, enough as well, because it's just a great resource. Rich always quotes it on the show when he's not sick, and one of the best baseball references, even if you don't participate in fantasy, just knowing about how the Red Sox are going to do and how baseball players are going to do in the next coming year.
So. Well, I love the idea that somebody is with a